Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. And on the show today, we'll have Pedro Gomez. Pedro Gomez, all things baseball. Pedro will be with us. That comes up at 10:20. Things around the Diamondbacks, Shelby Miller and his yucky. You know, when you call it yucky and then he goes out and pitches well last night, we'd like an explanation from the president as to what really defines yucky. So that will be with Pedro. And I'm sure Pedro has that. He was on the set last night at ESPN. He is on his way to Boston to do Giants and Red Sox. There's a lot going on today, and I would like to say that this is a busy time of year in sports, but it really isn't. It's pretty light. But there's still things that I find interesting, and you can get involved in the conversation on Twitter, at Brad Sesmatt, C-E-S-M-A-T, and of course on Facebook, Brad Sesmatt on Facebook as well. Our website, sports360az.com. From there, that's much better. Much, much better, guys. Way to go. The Diamondbacks last night did what they've done many, many times this season. That's they blew. They're just not fun to watch. They're not entertaining at all in any way, shape, or form. And last night was just one of those. I'm not going to dwell on this because I feel like I'm repeating the show every day here in the middle of summer. It's no fun when you have a baseball team that stinks. That's the only way to put it. And last night, the game was not competitive. They lost 5-1 to Toronto. They have a day game today. They booted the ball around a couple of times. And I'll talk to Pedro a little bit later than that. What was far more interesting to me last night was Dana White speaking at the RNC. Far more interesting. So they had like this steam coming out, big show, like it was WWE. And he comes out on stage and he didn't have anything written in his speech that somebody else had already used. So it was nice that on the second night they got that part figured out. Which, by the way, this whole thing about Trump's wife and plagiarism, it's speech writing, okay? So I was not all that offended by the speech writing thing. I'm not going to sit here and go on my political bents day after day, but it was entertaining to have. This is the first athlete. So last week, the Trump campaign had leaked out that Tim Tebow was going to speak, which was, of course, news to Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow said, I'm not speaking. Don't try to lasso me in to get your people behind me and behind you. So Dana White spoke last night. He did his thing. It had a WWE finish to it, which is pretty much what he's all about. That was of interest to me. The Suns today, I believe today, Eric, are supposed to release their schedule. I saw something where they're going to play a couple games in Mexico. Did you see this?
I did. Yeah, they're going to be playing two games in Mexico. Chances are they're probably not going to be playing on Christmas Day, though.
No. They only put good teams on Christmas Day. So they're playing in Mexico City, and it's two home games that they're giving up. One against San Antonio, which is an arch nemesis and drills the Suns year after year. The other is against Mark Cuban in Dallas. Now, is this very smart on Robert Sarver's part? To say, you know what, I'm willing to sacrifice two home games against two marquee opponents. This isn't the Atlanta Hawks on a Tuesday night. You know, this isn't a who cares game in November. It may be a who cares game in January, depending on how the season goes. But I think this is actually a smart move on Robert's part. You know, the Spurs do draw well, and there's usually more Spurs fans than Suns fans at these games. If it was a Laker game, now, they don't sell out, but they do sell out for the Laker games because Laker games in Phoenix are usually L.A. home games with how things have gone the last 6 years. So I actually think this is a pretty smart move on Robert's part. I don't know the financial ramifications. I am sure if we remember our son's history, remember Yuta Tabusi, Eric? Remember when Yuta came in?
Of course.
So the Suns had this guard, in case you're not aware of it, named Yuta Tabusi, who couldn't play dead. He had two left feet. I don't know why they had him here, but they sold gobs of jerseys over in Japan. It was on a bad team, right?
It was. And remember how many media flocked the arena
to cover
him?
Oh, there are hundreds of people from across the globe to show up and watch Yuta Tabusi.
You see that a lot in Major League Baseball, too.
Yeah.
When there's a foreign pitcher, I mean, you'll just get a flock of coverage covering another side of the world that's always great for the brand.
So we're going to sacrifice a couple of home games here, but I think this is Robert Sarver's way of saying we're not going to sell out anyways. Let's figure out a way to expand our brand. It's like when the Suns had Horacio Llamas. He was a bigger stiff than me. I can't move. He was 6'11 and couldn't move. Nicest guy on the face of the planet. But he was brought here solely and squarely to sell gear in Mexico. That's it. That was the only business side of the equation with him because he couldn't play. And the Suns are probably going to release their schedule today, probably from what we understand. And that's fine. That's fine. I'll circle the games against Cleveland and Golden State and the Lakers. And other than that, forget it. There's really no reason. And now, with the Suns have gone young, and they continue to go young. They drafted a couple of 18-year-olds, right? So we found some video because more LeBron Jr. has surfaced. LeBron's junior, Bronny, is 11 years of age. And Bronny put this up last night. So there's little LeBron. He's doing his thing. This kid's 11, by the way. I mean, my kid's 11 is bigger than that. That's a great pass. Put it up and in. Hey, Dad, I'm going to put my YouTube video up tonight for everybody to see that I'm LeBron James Jr. And he doesn't play like any 11-year-old. He's already been offered scholarships by Duke and Kentucky, and I'm not joking on that front. I don't know if he's been offered an NBA. That's a nice little step back. For an 11-year-old, a little crossover, this poor kid who's trying to guard him has no idea.
And the scary part of that is when you're watching this video, you can almost – he has things that are very – like that pass right there where he just throws it over his head and it's a perfect pass down the floor. He has a lot of his dad in him. So it's not surprising that all these big schools are already like, yeah, we're just going to go ahead and offer him a scholarship now.
At 11.
Sure.
So when I'm coaching my 11-year-old the other night, they want to see Pokemon Go on my phone. These kids aren't there to play basketball. We're at the Y. Come on. And even we're in club games. So my 11-year-old is going to be bigger than me. I'm 6'8". I'm 2". Okay. He's already 6 foot, and he's a pretty big kid himself. And we have not seen anybody even close to that as an 11-year-old. I'm out there coaching club basketball every weekend doing my thing, and pretty impressive. So I don't know if the Suns are going to look at me or not. You watch The Bachelorette at all?
Not this season, but yeah, I've watched it.
That's a man card deduction just
Why?
By the fact you admit it. But you're not watching this year?
Happy wife, happy life.
I got you.
No, I'm not watching this year.
You had your 2-year anniversary yesterday, right?
Yeah, we did.
Good for you. You're going to make
Thank
it to three?
That's the plan.
Yeah,
that's the plan.
With
The Bachelor and Bachelorette, one of those things is if you fall behind, like if we as a family fall behind two or three episodes, we're done. If we watch it from the first series or from the first episode all the way through, we're good. But it just gets cluttered and it goes on the DVR. And after a while, it's like, we got 6 episodes and everything is already out there online anyway. We know who's been eliminated. So we just kind of punt.
So there's a sports tie-in on this. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers' brother is in The Bachelorette this year. Is Jared there? Can you just take headset off and get Jared in here? See if, because Jared's one of those guys, I think he'll admit that he's watched this show before. He's one of those that comes in and says, did you see what was on American Ninja Warrior last night? I'll watch for a couple of minutes. The Bachelor, The Bachelorette. I've never been down that road, but I heard about Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, come on in. Just come on in. Because Eric already admitted that he doesn't watch The Bachelorette, and I'm trying to get to the bottom of this Aaron Rodgers hatred with his brother. So do you watch Bachelorette?
No, I do not watch The Bachelorette.
Well, you don't watch Bachelorette?
No, I can't stand that show.
Why?
It's just not my thing.
Because you're holding back.
I'm holding. I don't like the show because it's just really hokey and unrealistic. And they talk about love like it's
Married. Don't you love your wife? You have 2 kids.
Yeah,
what
but we actually established a relationship. We weren't dating 20 people.
So this
at
isn't
once.
Reality.
No, it's not reality. It's very fake.
Okay.
And I can't handle it.
So you have nothing to add on Bachelorette?
No.
Then get out of here.
Okay.
Go find Caitlin.
Thanks for having me.
Sure. Yeah. I'm trying to find anybody here because Aaron Rodgers, go tell Caitlin to come in here. Caitlin's a millennial. Caitlin, the intern. Come on in here, Caitlin. Aaron Rodgers and his brother are a big part of The Bachelorette. And the brother, Jordan Rodgers, doesn't like Aaron Rodgers. Come in. It's fine. Here's Caitlin, our intern. We just bring anybody in here. Do you watch Bachelorette?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, talking to the microphone. It's fine.
All right.
Yeah. You watch Bachelorette?
Yes, I watch it.
Okay. So what's the deal with Jordan Rodgers?
Well, I think Jordan is just...
He hates Aaron?
Yeah, it seems to be. He told JoJo, you know, it's the hometown.
Who's JoJo?
JoJo is the Bachelorette.
Okay.
And I know JoJo and Jordan sound like they might be a cute couple together, and yeah. he's the front runner, it seems. But, you know, he told her it's not really a topic we talk about at home. I don't have a good relationship with him. You know, I love him, but...
He loves his brother, Aaron, because Aaron's the star quarterback.
Seems, yeah.
But he doesn't like his brother. I mean, he says he loves his brother, but they don't talk.
Yeah. And he said, you know, growing up, he was compared to him, and... it just was kind of hard, you know, growing up in kind of the shadow of your brother. He's also a quarterback, and so
yeah,
that's got to be a little hard.
Yeah. So you can tell there's hatred there.
It seems, yeah.
Okay. That's all I want to know.
Okay.
Get out of here.
Glad I could help.
So I'm glad. So look, if I'm dating Olivia Munn, I'm not worried about what my brother on the Bachelorette's leftovers. So here's the thing on this. Aaron Rodgers is going to go to training camp next week. And I guarantee you, as I'm sitting here, he's going to be asked more about Jordan, his brother, on The Bachelorette than, hey, how about the out pattern you're going to throw to Jordy Nelson this year? Or, hey, how many games the Packers going to win? I guarantee you that there's people sitting in newsrooms right now in positions of producer authority, and news directors are going to say, you've got to go out next week when the Packers open camp, and you got to ask Aaron Rodgers about his brother on The Bachelorette. Far more interesting than training camp. And then there's the Devin Allen story. So I think the Devin Allen story we'll hold off on, because we got Pedro, and we don't want to miss Pedro. Devin Allen, I want to get into this a little bit later. You know about Devin from Brophy Prep. He is in the midst of a bit of controversy around the Olympic Games. He's qualified to go to the Olympics. He has had a GoFundMe account set up. And now, of course, the NCAA is getting involved because they're the NCAA and they have nothing better to do with their time. We'll get into that a little bit later on in the show. But up next, Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst. Tonight, you'll see him on ESPN doing Red Sox and Giants. We'll talk about the Diamondbacks and much, much more. Also get into Big 12 expansion. Roger Clemens coming out of retirement, sort of, and Tiger Woods 2 all straight ahead. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmatt.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/Sports360AZ. It's time to talk Arizona Diamondbacks and Major League Baseball with ESPN insider Pedro Gomez. Here's Brad Sussmatt.
Always good to catch up with Pedro Gomez. Saw him on set last night at ESPN, actually the last couple of nights. You're working far too hard, and you're at Boston tonight. I know. They call it work, right? You're standing there screwing around with John Kruk, and they pay you. So Red Sox, Giants tonight, huh?
Yeah, actually rare because Giants don't come here that often. So it's they don't play at Fenway very often. I think it's been 10 years since they've been here.
When you're in your production meetings today, take the fans behind that. What are you guys going to focus on tonight?
Well, today is part of our global game series, which we do about one a month.
Yeah.
And today we're zeroing in on the Dominican Republic and the contributions that the DR has made to Major League Baseball. So it's going to be a focus on that. We're supposed to have a live interview with Juan Marichal during the game. I'm going to interview Johnny Cueto. I believe it's into in the fourth or fifth inning during the game. The emphasis tonight is going to be more on the contributions of Dominicans toward Major League Baseball. But as a sideshow, I mean, we've got Drew Pomeranz's Red Sox debut tonight. So there's baseball to be played as well. You've got the club with the best record in baseball and the San Francisco Giants playing. So there's a great baseball game in, you know, one of the venerable facilities in all of professional sports on the planet in Fenway Park. And then, you know, we're also going to focus on the Dominican Republic and everything they've done for baseball. So pretty exciting, actually.
Talking with Pedro Gomez. He is in Boston, ESPN baseball tonight, about to get arrested on the air. Red Sox and Giants. Run for it, Pedro. Run for it. Dive for cover. Let's talk about before I get over the Diamondbacks. So the Giants are the best team in the National League, and the Cubs are just gagging at this away. Is that how you see it? Are the Cubs going to be able to pull out of this free fall?
Oh, I would not say they're gagging by any means. They're still...
They're the Cubs. Come on. Of course they're gagging. What are you talking about?
The sky is always falling for Cub fans. There's
yes.
no doubt about that.
Yes.
You know, two losses in a row, and that's the end of the world. But the reality is that, you know, everything that the Cubs did in April and May is allowing them to survive this stretch of the last couple of weeks where you know, maybe they haven't played the best baseball, but they still have a very comfortable lead in the National League Central. They still have very good starting pitching. I would say that as much as John Lester and Jake Arrieta pitched poorly over the last 2 to 3 weeks before the All-Star break, the last two nights have certainly straightened out that ship, because Lester pitched phenomenally two nights ago. And then Arrieta, even though that the Mets won last night 2-1, Arrieta was very strong, and the final score was 2-1. So that's very good news. That's not to say that the Cubs won't be active in trying to bolster their roster, but that's certainly, if you're a Cub fan, the sky isn't falling quite as quickly after the last two nights as it was earlier.
Or as it usually does every time of year. You know, the old line with a Cubs fan. I've been a Cubs fan all my life. I've died with them. I said, you certainly have. You've died hard. It's an easy line, a throwaway line. All right, so the hometown...
Absolutely.
Our hometown heroes here, they stink. They're not good, and we're in the midst of some interesting conversation about, did they just give Brad Ziegler away to the Red Sox? Shelby Miller and Yucky being tied together, using a Tony La Russa term that he's did something yucky. I mean, is this organization viewed as a laughingstock around Major League Baseball right now, Pedro?
Well, it's not just right now. This is an organization that has certainly raised eyebrows around Major League Baseball for years. And it's one that, when I talk to rival people in front offices, they always are like, what exactly are the Diamondbacks doing? What is their master plan? Where is the end game for them? And it just seems to change every 2 to 3 years. And that's the part that just has people scratching their heads, because look, the Kansas City Royals went through years of you know, not being very good. But when Dayton Moore got there 10 years ago, he put in place a plan. We are going to develop, we're going to draft and develop our own guys. And when we're ready to make a push, then we will augment a little bit with the limited funds that we have, but we will augment with free agency. So you see them draft, and they drafted very high for a number of years because they were so horrible, but they were able to get guys like Alex Gordon, Mike Moustakas, Eric Hosmer, Luke Hochschaber, Christian Colon, all were high draft picks, but they didn't turn around and trade those guys away. Right. They developed them into bona fide major league players who helped win the World Series last year and reach the World Series 2 years ago. And then you talk to people and it's like, look, the Diamondbacks have had some high draft picks. You think back to Trevor Bauer, Dansby Swanson, and they turn around and let them go right away.
Yep.
Or they don't see players reach maybe their full potential, like a Max Scherzer when they drafted him very high. Like, and I'm not saying Justin Upton is a superstar by any means, but, you know, he's somebody who maybe could have been brought along at a different pace. And,
yeah, they force-fed him.
Helped.
They force-fed Justin Upton. When they called right field uptown, when they called right field uptown, it was a disservice to the kid. The kid was not equipped for all that attention, and he wasn't equipped to be a major league player. I buy that with you, but let me take it over to this direction then. So I'm hearing a lot about Dave Stewart and the agency that his wife has, and maybe going back to that, and Shelby's situation being a disaster, and now the unfortunate news of Derek Hall's wife. I mean, it's just all over the place. Sort this out for me.
Yeah, I mean, the Derek Hall situation, both a few years ago with himself and now with his wife, that's out of anybody's control.
Sure.
So I don't know that should necessarily be lumped into what's going on with the Diamondbacks. But, you know, the things that they can control, those are the things that people around the game just scratch their heads. And, you know, because I live in Phoenix, they're always asking me, what's going on?
Yeah.
As though I have any control. But, you know, it's something that they know that this could be a premier franchise because it is a premier destination. We know how many major leaguers live in Arizona in the off season, and you know that their wives would be saying, hey, why don't you play here so you can be here all the time? But it's not the case because they're just – seems to be so much disorganization. Mm-hmm. You know, you're running through general managers every few years. You're switching and pivoting plans every few years. It's crazy to think that this isn't a better destination for players, and it's because of, you know, the top of the organization, to be honest. That's how it's viewed nationally.
Before we let Pedro Gomez go, he's in Boston Sunday night or Wednesday night baseball. Wednesday night baseball, Red Sox and Giants tonight. Okay, the Dodgers have become a bigger underachieving team, in my view, than even over here in Arizona. And
now, I would disagree. I would disagree.
Really? With Puig?
Yeah, they're atop the wild card standings.
Come on. They're not going to give the Giants a chance. I know Kershaw's out.
Seriously. Oh, no. The Giants are a better ball club.
Yeah.
But the Dodgers are right about where they should be, which is in the wild card standings, sitting on top.
Seriously. Well, I'll defer to you on that. But Yasiel Puig on the trade. Yasiel Puig on the trade block. Okay, 10 days away. Is this true or not?
Well, I think the Dodgers are in a situation where they have to look at their their roster and say, what can we pair off to help ourselves? And certainly Puig is somebody that is intriguing still, mm-hmm. even though he has kind of fallen the last year and a half or so. But he's still an intriguing player to a lot of clubs because he is only 25 years old, especially – you know, the glut of outfielders that the Dodgers have and the way he's underperformed. The problem is that because of the way Puig has played the last year and a half, he is, you're not going to get the same value that you could have 2 to 3 years ago when he was at the top. And many people in baseball thought now's the time to trade him because his value will never be higher because there were questions about a lot of things about Puig, which we've seen come to fruition, really.
Effort.
In terms of effort yeah. and work habits and yep. things like that. So, you're not going to get the same value. But if you package him with maybe, you know, some of the better prospects that they have in their minor league system, well, that can help you. And you know what? That's one of the reasons, Brad, that you want to have a good minor league system. It's not necessarily always to, hey, this guy's coming along. He's going to be a great right field or left field or whatever. It's also for situations like this where, okay, we're in contention. We've got to make a deal to help us this year.
Right.
You have to have those assets at the minor league level. That's why the Royals last year were able to get Johnny Cueto. Now, they depleted themselves by giving up 3 very good prospects, but they got what they wanted. They got the World Series ring. And if you ask any front office executive or GM, they would do that every single year if they knew they had a legitimate chance to win a World Series. But if your system is thin, you just don't have the bargaining power.
Yeah, you can't do it. You can't do it. Good stuff as always. Be brilliant tonight. Appreciate the time. Thanks.
All right, Brad. Take care.
See you later. There's Pedro Gomez. Always good to catch up with Pedro every week. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Again, you'll see Pedro tonight on ESPN Wednesday Night Baseball. Big 12 expansion, and I'm going to tie the Pac-12 into this and why Arizona and Arizona State have got to look closer at their relationship with the Pac-12. I'll do that on the other side. Still to come, Roger Clemens. This is a day, this next half hour, we're going to work in a whole bunch of old dudes, like not just in baseball, but in basketball that are looking at coming back in some way, shape, or form. I'll tell you about that and include Tiger Woods in the conversation too. That's next. Eric, you've been paying attention to the Big 12 stuff. I mean, we're big college football fans here. We're like 40 days away from the start of college football season. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Brad Sussmat. Have you been?
Oh, yeah. I like to follow the expansion stuff.
Well, your team's there. You're a Horned Frog.
I am.
Yeah.
But I still follow even the pack, the whispers that we've talked about on the show about maybe the Pac-12 expanding or maybe Arizona State and Arizona having eyes towards the Big 12. But yeah, I've been following it relatively closely.
So yesterday, and even this morning, the Big 12 conference is admitting now that they're finally, like, you see these guys running conferences. You and I have been sitting here for 2 years saying they have got to get their act together and get into a playoff and expand the conference. And they've acted irresponsibly, I think, in this whole scheme of college football. You know, when you don't have the 12 teams all working together, like if Oklahoma bolts, it's the end of the Big 12, in my view.
I would agree. And I think the Big 12 really backed themselves into a corner when they said they made the one true champion motto.
Yeah.
And then they didn't have a championship game. So really there wasn't one true champion, as we saw a couple of years ago when Baylor and TCU tied.
These are people running universities that come up with this stuff.
Yeah, it's,
you can't
it's
script
not good.
This stuff.
No, it's not good. And that seems to be the landscape. I mean, bigger, better conferences, whether I like it, you like it, that is the way it's going to be. We're going to see some of these 16 to 20 team mega conferences. Like it or hate it, that's the wave of the future.
Okay, so to make this in terms of Arizona and Arizona State, I'm going to do that here in a minute, but to follow up on what you're saying. So this is a league where they're just playing follow the leader. So the Pac-12 network gets put in place. The Pac-12 network has horrible distribution. It's not on DirecTV. People cannot find it unless you go back to the 80s and 90s way of having cable in your house. Okay, that's one. Two, when the ACC announced earlier this week that ESPN is funding them and forming their own conference, what do you know? Within 12 hours, the Big 12 is falling all over themselves saying, well, we got to expand and we should probably look at a conference deal. It's too late. You know, when they're looking at schools like Cincinnati and Boise and even San Diego State, my beloved Aztecs, who wear uniforms, look like they're at a swap meet in Apache Junction. When you're left for those teams, you can't sell that league. You're no better than Conference USA.
Well, and some of those schools have more warts than others. Of course, everyone is flirting right now with the University of Houston. It's one of the more rising
athletic.
And that's athletic,
a good call. Yeah.
Of course, it's one of the more rising athletic programs in basketball and football, and you get the big media market. Okay, you have Boise State, really good football program, established, been to a lot of big bowls. One problem, not good academically. Another problem, it's in Boise. No one in the South wants to go all the way to Boise when most of your schools are in Texas and Oklahoma
and
Kansas.
It's a top 15 program every year.
It is. But
Boise State is, and they also play on blue turf.
But would it be
hideous.
But would it be a top 15 team in the Big 12?
No,
TCU proved that you could. No, I don't know. But TCU proved that TCU took the path of we're going to play in the smaller conferences and then we're going to get to the Big 12 and everyone's going to say, oh, well, they're never going to survive. Well, they've won 10 or more games two of the last three seasons. So. And then you have other schools like Central Florida. I mean, do they want to get – because Florida is such a football-rich recruiting area, would the Big 12 want to go there? Maybe Memphis, get in the SEC country? Lots of things to consider. But, yeah, you are definitely watering down the league if you're going into a market simply for the market and not for the football.
Okay, so here's the bigger point on this. I think Notre Dame now looks at ACC and says, you know what? We should just be out of the independent world and totally in the ACC. They're going to have their own network, and Notre Dame's a game changer, like it or not. They're a game changer. That brings me over here to our state. So here's Arizona and Arizona State, and you know my rant on this, but for those that don't, and just to take a big broad brush look at this, would Arizona and Arizona State be in better position financially if they left the Pac-12 and went to the Big 12? And I'm saying this in this regard. It's a longer road trip from here to Pullman, Washington, and nobody cares about Pullman, Washington, other than people that lived in Pullman, Washington, where Washington State is. Yes, you lose the LA TV market. I get it.
But you gain the Dallas-Fort Worth market.
You gain the Dallas-Fort Worth market, and really, is college football in Southern California a thing? I don't think so. With the Rams coming back, it's really not going to be a thing.
And where do Todd Graham and Rich Rodriguez love to go grab
Texas.
Recruits? Of course.
Texas. And so you've got to think out of the box if you're Ray Anderson and if you're Greg Byrne, the two athletic directors here in the Valley and in the state, and say, is it better for us? Let's just take basketball. Is it better for U of a top 10 basketball program, to go play Cal up in the Bay Area? So you get some Bay Area media, which is a big market. I'll give you that. But it's Cal versus going and playing Kansas. It's a no-brainer. And you're going to play it on ESPN Big Mondays versus Pac-12 network that nobody sees.
And I'd argue that top to bottom, the Big 12 is a better basketball conference than the Pac-12.
Oh, I would agree with you on that.
Kansas, Baylor.
When's the last time there's a Final Four team?
Oklahoma.
Last time there's a Final Four team in from the Pac-12 conference.
It's been a while.
Been 10 years.
It's been a while.
It's been 10 years. So you're automatically, you're upgrading your basketball, your travel schedule. You're flying into Lubbock on Southwest Direct rather than taking a 3-hour flight up to Seattle. Okay. Your smaller sports, your softballs and your baseballs, and those sports are important, but you're not going up to Oregon State and getting rained out because it's always raining up there and you waste 3 days of travel budget. I just think what's going on this week and in the last 12 hours to 24 hours, you got to think out of the box on this, because clearly the ACC, now they have their own deal with ESPN. The Big Ten is going to have a $40 million television contract, okay, with these schools within the Big Ten. Illinois could go after Sean Miller at U of A and pay 3 times the amount that Greg Byrne can pay, because Greg doesn't have a $40 million television contract to spoon off of. And Greg and I have had this discussion. So you've got to look at what is in the best interest of the conference, and the guy who's leading it can't figure out how to negotiate a deal with DirecTV. Thus, kids are saying, "I can't find your games. I'm out of here."
And especially even when the Pac-12 games the last few seasons were on one of the ESPN family of networks, those games are starting. If you have a game that's starting at 8:30 Phoenix time. If you get to the other side of the Mississippi, you're reaching such a small audience on a Friday night.
Right.
I mean, those games are ending at 1:32 in the morning.
They played 6 of 7 days during the week ASU did this last year. There was never a consistent, you're playing on Thursday and Saturday.
Well, and don't forget about U of A not even having a bye week last year.
How does that happen? That's why they got drilled. All right. So the Big 12, they're going through this even today as we speak. They've admitted they are looking at expansion. I'm merely raising the flag saying, guys, right here in your own backyard, if your conference can't get their act together or get their bleep together, however you want to put it, then look around at what your options are. You are Arizona State, a 50,000 student enrollment. You are Arizona, one of the most renowned schools on a lot of fronts, great medical school and others. You've got some power there. Roger Clemens, Rip Hamilton, Ray Allen, Jermaine O'Neal, what do they all have in common? They're all thinking about making a comeback. And Tiger Woods, too. That's next. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I haven't even gotten to Jeff Gordon. Jeff's going to make a comeback for a couple of weeks. We'll tell you about that on the other side. You can always hit me up on Twitter. Got a lot of people responding today at Brad Sussmat, and shoot me the inboxes. Some are good, some are I can't use. It's fine. And I will block you, just so you know. It's something to do. And I play Pokemon Go, and I block you, and I'm on Facebook, and you know, all these social, Reddit, doesn't matter. Whatever the next emerging piece of technology is. So the Diamondbacks have a day game today. If you care to go down there, they're going to introduce the fans before the players today. There's going to be nobody at the ballpark. Day game against Toronto. Are you kidding me? Getaway day game for sure. Roger Clemens is in the news cycle. I love this story. Eric, you see this? See this one?
I did. Yeah.
This is we found out where Adam LaRoche ended up. So Roger Clemens is going to take part in the National Baseball Congress World Series in Wichita, Kansas. Of course he is. But he's put together a team. This is an annual event of amateur teams. And he's asked Adam LaRoche to be on this team. He has asked Josh Beckett to be on this team. He's asked Tim Hudson to be on this team. Jason Isringhausen, a great Diamondback for like, I don't know, a week. I think he was a Diamondback. Roy Oswalt, that's their starting rotation that Roger Clemens has put together for this amateur team.
That's not bad, actually.
No, it's not a bad rotation. It's probably better than the Diamondbacks this year.
Oh, I knew you were going to go there.
Rick Ankiel's on the team. Carl Everett's on the team. J.D. Drew, as long as it's not Steven. And Dan Uggla, a great Diamondback for a cup of coffee. They're all on this team playing in a tournament.
Well, this doesn't surprise me, because what does Roger Clemens love?
That's a loaded question, man. I could put a needle up behind me. I could do all sorts of things.
He loves the spotlight. He loves to be talked about. He loves to stay in the news cycle.
So you're saying I shouldn't put him in?
No, I mean, he's in our news cycle.
Well, I could just say this story's worthless.
It's too late now.
I kind of like it. The Seattle Studs won last year's matchup. Jeff Brown, the ace of last year's winners, the Seattle Studs, is going to be back pitching because he was released by the Dodgers Class A affiliate. Jeff Brown, not a household name, and the Seattle Studs, that's one of the great baseball nicknames. I like that. So the tournament starts next week. But wait, there's more guys coming back saying, I want to do something. Except in the NBA, these players that I'm about to mention all want to get signed. So Rip Hamilton wants back. Would you want Rip Hamilton?
Rip Hamilton of today or the Rip Hamilton of the early Pistons years?
Wore the face mask.
Good player.
Really good player.
Good player.
He noticed that these guys are getting $10 million a year to come play as players that will get, I don't know, 10 minutes a game.
Well, and they're exactly that. They're just guys.
They're just dudes.
Timothy
right?
Mozgov, you know, hey, you'll never have to work another day. Guaranteed. 64 million reasons why.
Jermaine O'Neal's on this list. So Jermaine O'Neal was with the Suns a couple of years ago.
Yes, he was.
He couldn't move, right? He couldn't even move then. But now he wants back into the league. Ray Allen is on this list, and I would take Ray Allen. Okay. Would Ray Allen come to Phoenix? I don't think he would. He's got to go to a place. He's a Warrior, a Thunder.
And my guess is Ray Allen is still in playing shape. I don't know if Jermaine O'Neal, even with healthy knees, is still in playing
shape. But he was here. No, I wouldn't take Jermaine O'Neal.
I don't disagree with these players with the money that's being thrown around.
I don't either.
If you can get it, get it.
40 years of age, give me a 10-day contract. I can go make a quick $30,000 to go sit on the bench, sign autographs.
We need you 10 to 15 minutes a game.
Go to a local Subway and sign some autographs, take pictures with kids for $30,000. Why not? Sit on the end of it. It's a great seat. Steven Jackson wants to come out of retirement. Remember Steven Jackson, former U of A Wildcat?
Of course.
San Antonio Spur. So he's talking about coming out of retirement now because all these guys in the last 3 weeks, since the bank broke with the Suns and the rest of the NBA, they're all coming out of the woodwork and they want to get back into the league. So I like that story. Jeff Gordon's in the news cycle today. Dale Earnhardt Jr. is not going to be able to race for a couple of weeks because of concussion. Jeff Gordon left racing, retired, went to the booth at Fox, and this morning announced that he's going to come back and be involved in the sport of speed, and at least behind the wheel for the next couple of weeks. I don't know about NASCAR. We have two races here a year, but your reflexes, what I don't know is how are his reflexes? That's a reflex sport. You know, some people have given me this whole thing through the years, Eric, if auto racing is a sport, when you're out there and you see these guys, there's no question it's a sport. You're going 220 miles per hour for 4 hours with cars weaving between you. And Jeff Gordon sitting up in the booth, is he even trained?
Well, I don't know. That's not a question that you and I can answer. Because been behind the car going 200 miles an hour. I've never been behind the wheel of a car going 200 miles an hour. So
great story. So Ayrton Senna. Remember Ayrton Senna? Ayrton Senna was a Formula One driver.
I don't, but that sounds like an old name.
He got killed. Are you saying I'm old?
Yeah. Look at your hair.
Don't. There isn't much. So Ayrton Senna, I get a call. I'm doing the Chargers pre-post halftime, doing their coaches show during the week. I get a call from a sales guy. He says, hey, so Performance Jaguar wants you to be their spokesperson. I'm like 22, 23, right? And they want to give you a car. So my wife and I just had our first child. So I go to Performance Jaguar and I ask the guys, because I'm a dope, hey, so this red Jaguar you're giving me for the next 6 months, can I put a baby seat in the back seat? And they look at me like, you're drinking. So I do the deal. They said, there's one deal. You've got to go out to the racetrack and meet up with Ayrton Senna, famous Formula One driver. He wants to drive this car over Del Mar. I go to Del Mar. I meet Ayrton Senna. I go on the air just like this, Eric. I've got my cell phone to my ear. I'm doing the morning show with Steve Garvey, the great Steve Garvey. We were doing mornings together. And Ayrton blasts it, pedal the metal, and I go back. My head is like tilted sideways with a helmet on because I can't fit in this car. And I got this phone because I think this is a really good idea. And Ayrton decides it'd be really funny to scare the radio dude. So he starts overcorrecting and screams, oh, bleep. And I see a wall coming at me, and then he pulls out of it. But as he's saying, oh, bleep, I'm saying, oh, bleep on the air. So this is on the air. It's an FCC violation. Thank God our transmitter was in Mexico. But Ayrton pulls out of it and he laughs at me and thinks it's really funny. That's as close as I've gotten to the sport of speed.
He didn't have you sign a waiver before?
Didn't have me sign a waiver.
Okay, just checking.
I went out once to PIR. So Darrell Waltrip had me be his lollipop guy. 6'8" lollipop guy. What's the lollipop guy? When they come into the pits, you have this big old lollipop with their team number on it. And I'm sitting there in a fire suit. And I've got my lollipop thing. And he comes racing in, aiming right at me. And he thought it was pretty funny. That's as close as I've gotten to that
sport.
I'd
pay to see that video, by the way.
Yeah, I've got it somewhere.
Okay.
But the whole idea of reflex and Jeff Gordon coming back is interesting to me. I think that's a good little story. But the best story of the day is Devin Allen. So Devin Allen is somebody that many of you here in the Valley and across the state have seen grow into somebody who's now an Olympian. Devin Allen, we've got some video of him last week when he's competing up at Oregon at the World Track and Field Finals. And he went out and did his thing and qualified for the Olympic Games. It just killed everybody. He was a great wide receiver here at Brophy Prep, but a track kid too. So he's going to represent us. Problem is, shortly after he found out that he was going to the Olympic Games, something happened with the family, right? You've been working on this story.
Yeah, his dad lost his job.
Okay, and so they want to go to the Olympic Games. So they started a GoFundMe account.
They did.
And, of course, the NCAA had to start looking into this because they're the NCAA. But I actually understand it to a point. Look, if Devin Allen had his name on the GoFundMe, and here's the part to look into. And you may know the answer to this because you've been working on the story. Did the family start the GoFundMe, or was it Devin Allen? Do you know the answer to that? I'm putting you on the spot.
I don't. Actually, the story that I posted is more of reaction from Pac-12 Media Day. From Mark Helfrich, did a one-on-one with the Oregon head coach and some of the players.
We've got some football video of him.
Talking about Devin Allen making the Olympics. But yeah, I was aware that his dad lost a job, and he is trying to get to Rio, obviously, to see his son.
Okay, so the dad is trying to get to Rio. The NCAA looks into it because is this a violation? Is this a new way to get players paid? Mom or dad need a GoFundMe so they can go watch me in Rio. Okay, that's one side of it that's been presented. I tend to look at it and say this should be a hardship, a waiver, because you are representing your country in the Olympic Games. You would have to vet it out. I don't think you just automatically say, well, he's going to the Olympic Games. What's your GoFundMe account number? $1.8 million, you know, or $10 million. So Big Cigar Booster can say, well, I just put money into his GoFundMe account. I didn't know. You'd have to set some limitations on this. Because he's going to go to the NFL. There's no question about it.
If he can stay healthy, he will play in the NFL.
Yeah, and he can't risk his eligibility off of this GoFundMe account. So it's a story to keep an eye on as well, and we'll write more about that. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website right now that you can check out. We're high school, college, pro, college, high school, Arizona, Arizona-centric. Makes no difference to us. It's our band of merry men and women, and we get together and do our thing. Monday through Friday here for an hour or so. It repeats if you missed any part of the show. We put it in podcast form and lots of content up on our website that you can check out. There's blogs and videos and just content from all platforms that you can check out at sports360az.com. Thanks for being with us.